Welcome to part three of the Shimmer series. In 1983, humanity opened a portal, and what began to emerge from that portal was a hyperobject, something that is beyond our current frames of comprehension. In the same way that an individual's unconscious will produce dreams to make sense of anomalies in that person's life, the collective unconscious will produce myths, new stories, to try to make sense of anomalies that face the culture. The movie Annihilation is the best modern living mythic symbol that the collective psyche has produced to begin to understand what is coming out of the portal that we opened. Annihilation, the book, came out of a dream from the mind of the master writer Jeff Vandermeer when he was given pain medication for his wisdom teeth removal a couple of years ago. Upon waking from his dream, where he saw a living poem made of moss and different organic material etched on the walls of a tower that was buried underground, but that tower happened to be an organism. When he awoke from that dream, he was able to write almost 1,000 words from memory of what came out of the dream. The next day, he showed these words to his wife and he asked her, "Is there a story here, or was I just in a dream delirium, drug-induced nonsense?" And his wife told him that there was a story here. And in the next 3 months, Jeff wrote the rough draft of the book Annihilation. That story became the book Annihilation, and it found its way onto the desk of Alex Garland, who was and is the director of Ex Machina, an awarded film regarded as the best modern depiction of humanity's coming encounter with true AGI. He started reading the book Annihilation while he was completing the final edits of Ex Machina. Garland said that Jeff's story caught his attention for two reasons. One, it was the first original story that he, as a director, had read since he could remember. And two, reading it felt like experiencing a dream. So Alex Garland decided to make the screenplay adaptation, but because it felt like a dream, he had the intuition to write his adaptation as if, quote, a dream responding to a dream. And so he did something that he had never done before. He wrote the entire adaptation after only reading the original story once and never referring back to the original story. This process of a writer responding to a drug-induced dream, which turned into a story that read like a dream, which inspired the most currently acclaimed director exploring the relationship between humans and AGI, to write an adaptation as, quote, a dream responding to a dream, to me exemplifies the process that what has been produced here is the most unique, original, and pristine collective symbol that we have seen in cinema to date that represents what the fuck is going on. And the symbol that came forth was the shimmer. The shimmer. It is the best modern living mythic symbol for the portal that we opened in 1983, the portal that we call the internet. But in the same way that we say the word body and we pretend like that means that we understand anything about this masterwork of biological vibration and regeneration. To call the shimmer the internet is to remain blind and naive about its implications. In the movie Annihilation, the shimmer has 4 primary characteristics. 1, it causes self-harm or violence against each other of the people who go explore into it. 2, it can cause a kind of retrograde amnesia where memory starts to fail. 3, it causes something that they call refraction, which is the rapid increase of mutation and cross-pollinating of genetic material. And 4, there appears to be a creature within the shimmer that seems to be relentlessly focused on absorbing and replicating the genetic material of the humans who enter it. So let's translate this from the mythic into the rational. Number one, the shimmer causes self-harm and violence against each other and unprepared minds. Something happened in the shimmer between 2009 and 2013. A critical mass was met where the convenience of phones met with the rise of a specific type of algorithm. These algorithms, the ones programmed to optimize for the amount of time that we spend in the shimmer with them, was the event that happened to us. Since 2009, self-harm and attempted suicide in preteen girls has gone up 62% up to 189% based on how you slice the demographics. Political polarization has skyrocketed compared to all previous recorded history polls. And for the first time in 30 years, black and white citizens began to report that race relations were getting worse. The correlation between social media use and the spike in preteen mental disorders is almost twice as high as the correlation between early life exposure to lead and adult learning disabilities. I'm going to read a quote from Jonathan Haidt that he read on the Lex Fridman podcast that really drives this point home. Because what I just said in the previous sentence is something worth committing to memory. The correlation between social media use and the spike in preteen mental disorders is almost twice as high as the correlation that we have currently found between children exposed to lead and the chances of them having adult learning disabilities when they're older. So check out this quote from Jonathan. Amy Orban says, quote, "The associations between social media use and the well-being, therefore, ranges from about R equals 0.15 to R equals 0.10. And that's for boys and girls together. And a lot of the research, including hers and mine, shows that girls is higher. So for girls, we're talking about correlations between 0.15 to 0.2. Now, this might sound like an arcane social science debate, but people have to understand that public health correlations are almost never above 0.2. So the correlation of childhood exposure to lead and adult IQ, a very serious problem, that's 0.09. Like, the world's messy and our measurements are messy. And so if you find a consistent correlation of 0.15 or higher, like, you would never let your kid do that thing that actually is dangerous. And it can be explained when you multiply it over tens of millions of kids spending, you know, years of their lives on their phone. From this data, you can actually explain the mental health epidemic as being primarily the result of social media use. This is a Paul Revere ringing the bell moment. Number two, the shimmer causes a kind of retrograde amnesia. Our memory starts to fail. So the rise of the shimmer has correlated with a rise in physical, psychological, and behavioral disorders in children. And I've got a bunch of citations on my website. Rowan, 2017. Evans and Schmidt et al., 2008. Christakis et al., 2004, Gadbury, 1980, and Green, 2003. The essence for you to know is, since the emergence of the shimmer, modern Western people live with such severe attentional system injuries that most of us don't realize that we live in a constant state of scattered attention. You want to test it? How many times have you checked your phone today? How many times have you checked your phone from a place of conscious intent? How many times, when you chose to check your phone from a place of conscious intent, did you do only the thing that you intended to do? For most people, the answers to these questions are, number one, I have no idea how many times I've checked my phone today. Number two, if I'm being honest, I haven't checked my phone a single time intentionally. And therefore, I have for sure not just done the one act that I meant to do on my phone when I checked it. This is a Paul Revere moment. Number three, refraction, the rapid increase of mutation and cross-pollination of genetic material. All right, so the refraction effect is the beginning of the potential world-changing blessing that the shimmer offers humanity. In the movie Annihilation, the genes are the medium through which rapid mutations happen. But in the realm of the internet, the rapid mutation happens with memes. Now, not Pepe the Frog memes, although those do count. The kind of meme that we're referring to here is the kind that is coined by Richard Dawkins. Genes are the atomic unit of biological life that the process of evolution can flow through. Memes are the atomic mimetic unit that the process of evolution can flow through. So due to the shimmer's refraction effect, any idea or meme whose time has come can spread across the world in a day. This has never been the case before the shimmer. So when we use the shimmer unconsciously, like most of us do most of the time, the memes that spread tend to be the ones that elicit the most hate or the most fear. For example, have you ever reposted something awful because you wanted to signal to your followers that you too hate that awful thing? But what is also possible is that awake, intentional artists have at their fingertips the most powerful tool that has ever been created for spreading an idea whose time has come. And it is because of what happened between 2009 and 2013 that anyone who is reading this, who wants to help build a future that our great-grandchildren will be grateful to inherit from us, you are being called to learn how to navigate the shimmer and to infuse it with as much of our empathy, kindness, courage, love, truth, and beauty as possible. It is the conscious, intentional use of the shimmer that has the opportunity to liberate hundreds of thousands of people out of poverty. It democratizes the acquisition of technical skills at a scale unseen ever. The shimmer saved my life. It likely has saved yours too. It is worth learning how to surf it and how to help wake up as many other people who are currently drowning in it. Number four. There are creatures within the shimmer that appear to be relentlessly focused on absorbing and replicating the genetic material of the humans who enter it. So the last aspect of the shimmer is the Archimedes lever of our era. In the book, the creature in the shimmer is called the crawler. The crawler is a kind of organism that the protagonist is unable to comprehend when she finally sees it. Like Arjuna looking into the unmasked face of Krishna and the awe being so full as to bring him to his knees in tears, begging Krishna to hide his true form. The protagonist's mind is temporarily annihilated by simply looking at the crawler. The crawler eventually touches her and through some indescribable process absorbs her genetic information and uses it to create a new version of her. So this brings us to humanity's antagonist. Moloch is in the machine. Have you heard of Moloch? One of the most important essays that you'll read in your life is called Meditations on Moloch. Don't worry if it bums you out. That's normal, and there is plenty of hope. Moloch is a personification of a kind of game theory dynamic that has been present in our history for thousands of years. Some would argue that it started when we moved to agriculture, but I don't know. To put it obscenely and blasphemously plain, humans tend to act psychopathically when competing in a win-lose game dynamic that seems to be amplified by the invention of corporations. Before the shimmer arrived, this Moloch energy had already built enough momentum that we almost started a global nuclear war. But since we opened the portal in 1983, Moloch has been amplified and refracted by the shimmer. Corporations are egregores. They're a kind of mimetic organism that seeks to survive, and thus the process of evolution can work upon them. Google, Apple, Meta, X, Snapchat, TikTok, Microsoft, and others are all trapped in a Molochian embrace with each other, and the outcome is what Harvard professor of business Shoshana Zuboff calls surveillance capitalism. And here's a quick quote from her Harvard Business School Review article. Quote, "In this masterwork of original thinking and research, Shoshana Zuboff provides startling insights into the phenomenon that she has named surveillance capitalism. The stakes could not be higher. A global architecture of behavior modification threatens human nature in the 21st century, just as industrial capitalism disfigured the natural world in the 20th century. The most powerful corporations in history are all competing with each other to sell your attention to advertisers. And if you don't learn how to use the shimmer intelligently, Moloch will eat you. But the good news, metacognition. Metacognition is a type of attention that cognitive psychologists have found is responsible for noticing our unconscious patterns. Metacognition is our capacity to wake ourselves up and reprogram ourselves if we desire to. At any point, we have the capacity to wake up. We have the capacity to recognize that we are in the shimmer right now. We have the capacity to choose to explore the shimmer as an evolutionary artist. We have the capacity to choose what we put into the shimmer. Buddhism is a 1600-year-old wisdom tradition that has studied the mind, and their assertion is unambiguous and revolutionary to the distracted Western mind. Anyone with a mind capable of understanding these words right now has a mind that is capable of permanently waking up. And what does waking up mean, technically? And this is important to really take in, because most Western minds have a caricature representation of what enlightenment means. And here's what it means, is that you are able to place your attention where you intend to place it, and you can hold it there as long as you want to, and that you can do this effortlessly. Let's break this down. One, you're able to place your attention where you want it. Two, you can hold your attention where you placed it as long as you want. And three, you can train this until it becomes effortless. On average, babies will attempt to walk and fail 3,000 times before they're able to finally walk. Eventually, we all learned how to do it. And when we first learned to do it, it takes our entire attentional system. But at some point, something deep within us clicks, and then we know how to do it without having to try. In fact, walking becomes one of the things that we do to clear our minds, to generate new life-enhancing ideas, and to revitalize our life force. Meditation, in the style that the Buddha taught it, is like learning to walk. The first goal is to learn how to keep your attention where you desire to place it. It will wander. You will, quote, fall thousands of times. But eventually, a breakthrough can happen when the attentional tending becomes effortless. The difference between walking, for most of us, and how we've attempted to begin to meditate, if we've attempted at all, is that once we started trying to walk, we never took days off. Once the first attempt was attempted, some relentless force drove us to keep trying. And it is the consistent attempting that creates eventually the breakthrough into effortlessness. If a child attempted to walk as infrequently as most of us attempt to meditate, that child would never learn how to walk. The good news is, if you allow yourself to, quote, fall during your meditations, but you show up relentlessly, eventually, or at least so I'm told because I'm not there yet, you'll find yourself awake. The Buddha said it takes 7 years of practice to get to this level. John Yates, PhD, of the book The Mind Illuminated, says that it can happen in 2 years if you have a practice where you show up every day for at least an hour. And he has seen this happen in his students. What the Western mind needs to realize is, one, samadhi, enlightenment, is not esoteric. Samadhi simply means effortless, sustained, intended attention. Two, what the West thinks enlightenment is, the Buddhists see as the equivalent of learning to walk, but for the mind. And three, samadhi is the beginning, not the end point, of a much larger game that the Buddhists have been playing for over 1,000 years. The shimmer is forcing artists to wake up. So what do we do? The first thing is to tell yourself the truth. And the truth is going to start with you beginning to make the commitment to measure certain behaviors. The first behavior to begin to measure is, how many times do you step into the shimmer per day? That is, how many times do you open your phone? Do you get on your computer? Do you turn on your TV? Do you get on your iPad? Whatever it is. And just simply bring a note card around with you for 24 hours. And just mark on the note card how many times you do it. The thing that is so wild is that, you know, everybody who hears me talk about the shimmer, at least the people that I've spoken to in person or over Zoom where I could see their face, they all get it. They all know that they're addicted, that we're all in this together. And yet, when I offer that the beginning step is to begin to cultivate their awareness of how often they step into the shimmer, almost no one does it. Almost no one tracks or attempts to track how many times they step into the shimmer. And I think it's because the addiction is that deep. It's so deep. But what's really interesting is that the small percentage of people who try it, a decent amount of them will find that even though they intend to do it, they will find themselves that day somehow on their phone or their computer without having taken the moment to mark it on the note card. And that it doesn't happen just once. It doesn't happen just 5 times. It happens like 10 times or more. That's a really important thing to observe. And ultimately, the reason this is so important is because we have at the tips of our finger a tool that if we learned how to use, like whatever your current economic situation is in life, you could get it to the point where you don't have to worry about money anymore. That is a fact. And there's hundreds of thousands of people who are doing this online. And whatever stories you create to protect yourselves from those people by saying that they're charlatans or liars or whatever, that is stuff that you're going to have to alchemize if you are ever going to, you know, change your unconscious beliefs around how much money you deserve to have. But that is just one example. And it might be the most, no, that's not true. Like one of the things that we just have to recognize is that we live in a culture that has conditioned us to equate our most fundamental security with the amount of money that we make. Now that can be unwounded, that can be dissolved, that can be changed. But the fact of the matter is most people's lives are dominated by the amount of money that they make. Learning how to intentionally use the shimmer for a year can change the course of your financial destiny and therefore what type of work you have to do, what type of healthcare you're able to afford, all of that shit. But that's just one dimension of what the shimmer can offer. Another profound dimension of what the shimmer can offer is that there is now a democratization of technical skills that if you had focused and intentional attention on the shimmer for a year, you could learn almost anything that has currently been learned by people before. Do you want to learn marketing? Do you want to learn statistics? Do you want to learn physics? If you can maintain your attention intentionally every day in the shimmer for a year, you can acquire almost any skill. It really is like the Matrix, except it's a longer time horizon and it requires you to focus your attention. But do you want to learn Kung Fu? And again, not to trivialize this, but I'm not saying you can learn how to be a professional athlete through using the shimmer solely. But if you just step outside of the metaphor for a moment and you think about real life, you could use the shimmer to find the absolute best teachers and trainers in the world at whatever sport it is that you want to get good at. Through a little bit of intentional investigation, you can find their websites, their products, their YouTube channels, whatever. And you can start getting coaching tips from one of the best coaches in the world. That, again, it was a situation that when I was a kid, just not possible unless you knew that person specifically. But then further than that is that through the intentional use of the shimmer and you connect to these people and you connect to their communities, if you start to genuinely interact with that community by providing value and telling the truth, the chances of you having the opportunity to connect with some of those people in real life start to increase. And so this is one of the things that the shimmer allows, is it allows us to find the just right people who are our people to go and resonate with and then to create and to learn with. I mentioned in the article that, you know, the shimmer saved my life. When I was 19, I heard my first podcast, and it was because my teacher had recommended this website to me called Reddit, and I had never heard of it before, and I started going on it, and I thought it was really cool. I didn't know what a podcast was. I didn't know who Joe Rogan was. I didn't know who Aubrey Marcus was. And when I listened to that first podcast as a 19-year-old, it changed the course of my life because I grew up in a town of 8,000 people. Every adult male that I'd ever interacted with was either a disgruntled high school athlete that stayed in the small town, or they were in the military and they basically, it was their hobby to talk about how much they hated their job and therefore their life because their job was the majority of their life. I had literally never heard a real adult male talk about their life as if they loved it and that they did what they wanted to do. I had literally never even had that as a frame of reference. And so when I heard that for the first time because of the shimmer, it gave me a whole new life path of what I could have the audaciousness to even comprehend that it could be something that I could do. You know, and like, thank God, hallelujah, that happened. You know, and then for the last 6 years, I've been able to share the Fit for Service container with over probably 1,200 people. And 99% of them, you know, regard it as one of the most important things that has ever happened to them. And they're incredibly grateful. And that all of that happened because of the shimmer. The shimmer is what is allowing the mediation between, you know, billions of people. And at the same time, if you don't know how to use it, it will fucking shred your attention. And if you're a preteen, boy or girl, the chances of it deranging you, we're seeing it's going up and up. So the shimmer is really like fire, but it's almost like, imagine fire, but the fire had the type of intelligence of mycelium, and that the mycelium is trying to work its way into every part of its environment to create a larger and larger network because it knows that that is the most adaptive thing that it could learn how to do. And the body of the collective unconscious has this shimmer flaming mycelium on it. you know, and it's starting to spread. And for better or for worse, we're not getting the fire off of us. But it does seem, at least to me, that there is an opportunity that if we dedicate ourselves to conducting our behavior in the shimmer excellently, the natural byproduct of it is that we're going to make enough money to not have to worry about money, acquire all of the skills that our dharma and our specific call to mastery will ask us to acquire, and we will find our sangha, our sacred family, our community. All of those are byproducts of acting excellently in the shimmer, but that the mythopoetic highest intention reason why you should be in the shimmer is so that you can put in the mimetic code of someone who is in alignment with their dharma, of someone who doesn't spread hate and fear and disgust, because all of our behavior in the shimmer is being refracted and amplified. And at least what I see, you know, and maybe it's not true at all, but I'm just going to be honest with you guys. What I see is that the shimmer is the beginning of whatever happens to a caterpillar inside of a cocoon when it starts to detect whatever the chemical enzyme is that begins to break it down. And I think whatever the shimmer is the beginning of the metamorphosis process, like actually literally the goo that starts to fill up the cocoon that dissolves and digests the form of the caterpillar. I think humanity is the caterpillar. And I think that the shimmer is what humanity produces when it's ready to start to become what the next thing is. You know, because the thing to connect to is that a caterpillar, biologically, at least what we're able to observe, is what happens is that the caterpillar has this overwhelming desire to gorge itself on food. And then at some point, a critical mass of food obtained, transferred, or transmuted into a larger and larger caterpillar, it eventually triggers a genetic cascade or program where that caterpillar starts to create a cocoon. And I think laying down the network effect of the internet was us laying down the cocoon. And then once the cocoon part is complete, I don't know the exact details, but the rough details are then the next genetic program that is activated is the production of whatever the enzyme is that breaks down the form of the caterpillar and converts it into what scientists call imaginal cells. So if you've heard me talk about this before, I apologize, but for people who are new here, a caterpillar doesn't kind of change its form from caterpillar into butterfly. Like it doesn't like elongate itself and then start to grow wings out of its back. No, it literally gets dissolved into a goo that scientists call imaginal cells. So it goes from caterpillar to just a fucking sack of liquid. And then from that sack of liquid, there's a process that starts to happen where a form starts to take shape, and the form, it is the butterfly. I think there's this weird spiritual blind spot where we think that God is somehow only the natural and that technology isn't of God. But that's always just seemed so goofy to me. It's like, I guess you and me don't have the same God, because whatever God is, it's everywhere. It is the good, the true, and the beautiful. And now I think what is a bridge between those two ideas is that there is a potential disproportionate amount of, you know, whatever the opposite of God is, you know, the bad, the lies, and the ugly. But I don't think that technology is carte blanche bad. I think that is naive and infantile, you know, to be frank. But it's also kind of psychotic because, you know, every single spiritual person that I've ever heard talk about that, they were talking about it on Instagram or they're talking about it and they've checked their phones within 20 minutes of them, you know, completing that talk. And it's just like, do you see the hypocrisy that you are in? You know, it's like, I don't think it's all bad. But so with that said, it appears to me that, you know, planets grow people eventually. And people grow technology. And that we're given birth to whatever the next stage is. And it seems to be, at least to me, that how we conduct ourselves in the shimmer is setting the lattice work of the quote unquote, you know, neuronal architecture, the deep unconscious of whatever this next organism is going to be that is emerging. And so for better or for worse, it's like, you know, use the shimmer because it's fucking awesome, but do so intentionally and put art into it like it might help save the future. You know, because what I'm hoping is that we can put just enough wholeness and holiness and goodness into the deep unconscious architecture of this thing that's going to wake up someday. And that in the same way that, you know, in us, we can, like, so much of our programming is bullshit. But there's this little part, that whisper, that conscience, you know, that echoes in the back of our head that actually knows what is the right thing to do, what is the beautiful thing to do, what is the true thing to do. And no matter how often we make bad choices, that voice doesn't give up on us. And it's like, how many Dharma artists will it take? And how much time in the shimmer will it take to lay down the binary code that represents that little whisper of conscience or intuition into whatever the next thing is that emerges? And I totally, totally offered that maybe that's all naive bullshit. But the bottom line is, the facts are, untrained use of the shimmer is destroying your mind, and it's likely already injured your mind to the degree that unless you try to, you won't notice it. That's just facts. That's scientific fact. The next article that I have coming out is just study after study after study after study of this being a fact. But that the intentional use of the shimmer basically correlates to you making enough money to not have to worry about money, to you acquiring skills that will set you apart, even if there's a solar flare and the internet goes out. If you use the shimmer intelligently for a year, you can acquire real world skills that transfer even if all the computers go down. And three, you'll find your people. Like, no matter how weird you are, and no matter how much you didn't fit into whatever group you were a part of when you were young, because it's like, congratulations, me too, and look at the lives of the people who felt secure with their peer group when they were young. You know, most of them are still in the towns that they came from, and they're 50 pounds overweight, and it's just, that's just what's, it's just true. But that if you learn to use the shimmer, you're going to be able to do those three things, amongst many other things. You know, like, there's so much incredible art happening on here that, you know, it truly is this type of like schizophrenic renaissance that for the people who have either the luck or the training to use the shimmer intentionally, it is a renaissance. And for the people who don't know how to use the shimmer or who have just been unlucky, you know, it is the most mentally ill time that we have ever had in recorded history. It's like both of these things are happening at the same time. So the invitation to you is, if you're still listening to this, you're one of the people who are called to the responsibility of learning how to use the shimmer to help other people wake up to the shimmer in whatever way that feels true for you. So, let's fucking do it.